Hi, this is Joe Castellano. Welcome to the San Francisco 49ers Extra Podcast on thesportsvirus.com, featuring former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono.
I think Blaine has a good rapport with the tight ends. I think it's a pretty darn good group of tight ends.
49ers Extra is brought to you by TPC Harding Park, the only public golf course in San Francisco offering golfers the opportunity to play where the pros play, in the home of the 2020 PGA Championship. Today we'll talk to Steve about the 49ers' 46-27 loss to the Carolina Panthers, but first, I want to tell you about my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. As I was thumbing through Golf Digest, I found that TPC Harding Park is recognized as one of the best places to play in America. And that didn't surprise me too much because I love the majestic layout and beautiful amenities. My San Francisco resident card gives me a great rate at TPC Harding Park, and I get to play where PGA Tour icons Jack Nicklaus, Phil Mickelson, and Tiger Woods have played. Now, if I can only score like them, okay, I'll stop dreaming and get to our guest. Steve, the 49ers have a lot of good and bad, I think, to talk about in this loss to the Panthers. You know, it's one of those games where you could point to some really good things on offense that the 49ers did. They did put up 27 points, but, you know, on the other side of it, really, they didn't have many drives that scored touchdowns. You know, they only had two scoring drives of more than 11 yards because the Panthers, they turned the ball over four times. They gave the 49ers opportunities, and when it was time for the 49ers to, you know, make some clutch drives, they just couldn't do it. So what did you think about the overall performance?
It was okay. I mean, like you said, I mean, they didn't have to go very far, like a yard and a half on one.
Right,
for
exactly.
A touchdown.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the other turnover, they only got a field goal out of it, and they needed it to be a touchdown. I think that was a turnover.
Yeah, there were four. How many games do you lose when you have four turnovers for the other team?
Not many. Well, it goes to show you how good Carolina is. I thought overall it was pretty good, and defense. I think in the first couple games has been pretty good. They just, they just got worn out on Sunday. Especially mid fourth quarter, offense after the few scores when they needed to make a drive and they couldn't, and defense was worn out, I think, by that point.
Yeah, I mean, you look at the overall stat sheet, and it's not pretty because you give up 529 yards. I mean, that's the most they've allowed since 2007. And you just see, you know, guys like Olsen wide open for that 78-yard touchdown in the first half. And Kelvin Benjamin, he had a great game. I mean, he was making some tough catches. He had seven catches, 108 yards, two touchdowns. Just a tough guy to cover, I guess.
Yeah, and the one stands out the one catch that he made where he turns back to the ball and kind of knocks it down with one hand and eventually, like, traps it on the helmet of the defender.
Oh, yeah. That was amazing.
Yeah. That was a tremendous catch. He was tough. He was very tough and made some great catches.
Yeah, and then they also were able to get the running game going, even though their number one running back, Jonathan Stewart, I mean, he was out. He barely played, but Whitaker, he runs for 100 yards. I mean, it was hard to stop him.
He was, I have to be honest, I didn't really even know who he was. And I was like, wow, who is this? This guy's tough.
Yeah.
One, he was running hard, and two, he was very elusive.
He was
spinning out of some tackles and kind of wiggling his way through, and he was good.
Part of the problem was that, I mean, I thought for most of the game, I mean, in some of the game, the 49ers maybe put pressure on Cam Newton. But for most of the game, it seemed like he could do whatever he wanted to do. He wasn't even getting touched. You know, he'd been hit so much the previous week. There was talk about, you know, did he have a concussion and what kind of hits? Were they illegal hits? This time, I don't think the 49ers really hit him that much.
No, they didn't. And where they kind of had them on the ropes, what, you know, after the couple turnovers and the Niners scored and made it, I don't know, maybe it was 37-31, somewhere in there. You know, they were within a score.
They were within one touchdown. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. In the fourth quarter, yeah.
Yeah, so I thought they kind of had them on the Panthers in, you know, in general and Cam specifically. They kind of had him scramble around a little bit more, it seemed like, but then they just couldn't maintain. I think, like I said, that was kind of that point where I think the defense then was beat, because offensively they couldn't maintain a drive. Then I think there were two or three series there where they were three and out.
Let's talk about the offense, because the Chip Kelly offense really starts with a running game, and they only rushed for 65 yards, and Carlos Hyde only 34. He had a fumble, and, you know, he stood up to the media and said, yeah, you know, I'll take a lot of the blame, he said. And he said he wasn't patient enough, like waiting for the holes to open. In your experience, Steve, is that something a running back really has to get better at, you know, the patience? It's not always easy to wait for those blocks and those holes, but do you see that in him, that he needs to do that, like he said?
Yeah, I mean, I think more specifically, you have to in an offense like Chip's, where you don't have a blocking back, you know, and you're still trying to run between the tackles. I honestly find it somewhat funny, somewhat of a chuckle when you say that. You know, Chip Kelly's offense starts with the running game. I mean, and you have, you know, four wideouts and a running back.
So but he always emphasizes the run.
No, I know he does. I know he does. But I don't know. I just find it funny that you know you're a running team and you don't have a blocking back.
It's true. They don't have a fullback that can block. Yeah.
No. So I think more to your question. Yes, you have to be even more patient, because first of all the runs seem to start the same way. You know, there's somebody different pulling, or there's you know, maybe there is an extra tight end. He's not necessarily a fullback, but there is, you know, somebody coming in on an angle who's trapping someone, or so yes, you have to have the patience. And as you're asking me the question, I think the study in patience is Christian McCaffrey. I mean, he's got incredible field vision and just amazing patience to wait for those guys to get ahead of him and create a hole. Anyway,
you had to bring that up. I mean, my USC Trojans get destroyed by him.
I'm sorry. Yeah. But he is. I mean, it is amazing to see him, you know, wait on those guys, wait on those blockers, those lead blockers and linemen, and wait for those holes to open. I think Carlos is getting better. I think he's getting better at it, though. You know, he looks quicker. I think we talked a little bit about that last week. You know, he lost some weight. He looks a little quicker, and he can wait now and then explode through the holes.
We'll have more with former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono right after this. As the San Francisco 49ers podcast with Joe Castellano and Steve Bono continues, there's more to tell you about as far as my favorite golf course, TPC Harding Park in San Francisco. 49ers fans from outside the Bay Area, listen up. TPC Harding Park has a great deal for you when you are planning your trip to Levi's Stadium to see the 49ers. While you're in town, take advantage of Golf the Gridiron, featuring discounted tee times and free club rentals. Visit TPC.com and click on Special Offers for tee time deals at San Francisco's own TPC Harding Park. Well, Coach Kelly did say that the biggest disappointment of the game for him was the run game. I mean, they just didn't get it going. But for some people, they're more, you know, fans are more disappointed in the passing game just because Blaine Gabbert is not showing consistency. At times, he'll zip one in there and it looks pretty good and look like maybe, okay, he's going to have a rapport with Torrey Smith. But, you know, he targeted him 10 times, but he only had three completions to Torrey Smith. I mean, and that's the guy, that's the main receiver on this team that he's got to figure out something with. Let's go over Gabbert. I mean, just your overall impression and, you know, in particular, going to Torrey Smith.
Yeah, I think that Blaine gets him, you know, he gets himself in trouble when he overreacts. That's probably not even the probably not the correct two words, but he tries to react to something that flashes, and he speeds up his motion too much, and seems to get himself in trouble.
So it's more of a mechanical deal for him, maybe.
I don't know him well enough, or you know, I haven't sat in meetings to, you know, hear his feedback to, you know, critique. But that's just my observation from some practices and games. That he, when he stays in, it's pretty true of everybody, when they stay in rhythm, most guys are pretty good.
Right.
But he tries to speed up his arm motion to throw the ball harder, and that gets you in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, it sails, it goes on the ground, it goes behind or in front of, you know, it's just not as accurate. And that's not just Blaine, that's most everybody, but that's something that I've always observed about him.
Well, that seems to be his biggest issue, is accuracy, because, I mean, you've talked about that he sees the field pretty well, but accuracy has been an issue.
Yeah. A little bit. It is. But then going to the Torrey, you know, you mentioned Torrey. It seems where they, like, he gets himself in trouble with Torrey is crossing routes. Torrey, they need to keep Torrey on the outside, mm-hmm. running comebacks and digs. He just doesn't seem to be a guy that's comfortable over the middle. There's one play that's coming to my mind, but actually it might even have been from the Ram game. But then the big one to me was the, you know, who was wrong on that interception at the end of the game? You know,
Torrey took the blame for that.
Okay, but, yeah. It looked like it to me, because Blaine put the ball on the outside where he thought Torrey was running a comeback, you know, or some sort of a inside, you know, inside out move, but Torrey either ran the wrong route or got himself stuck inside too far. Watching it on television, it seemed like to me that it was Torrey's fault.
Yeah, and that's part of the, you know, just getting used to each other, although they've been together the last couple of years. But Jeremy Curley, there was a route there, one of them, where Curley went one way, the ball went the other. They're definitely getting used to each other.
Yeah. But Curley, he seems pretty good. He seems a little more comfortable in the middle. But then, you know, Blaine seems to have really good rapport with the tight ends.
Yeah, he had that 75-yard touchdown pass to Vance McDonald, but McDonald also dropped one, and there were five drops, so it's kind of good and bad there.
Yeah, so, yes, you know, they all have to take the blame, you know, and obviously they've got to continue to work to get on the same page. But that ball that Vance drops is, I mean, that's money by
right.
Blaine. Drops it over two guys' heads, puts it right on Vance's hands. You know, those are the kinds of plays that winning teams make. You know what I mean? Those,
right,
those
right.
are the kinds of plays you got to make to win. You know, go back to I shouldn't even get you started on this, but I'm gonna say it anyway. And go back to the Giants. You know,
I was just thinking the same thing. You can make analogies there. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, last night was the best example. You know, in a year when they're winning championships, you know, Hunter Pence makes that play last night.
Right.
Or Joe Panic makes that play on a little bit of an overshift on a ball at the end of season.
Double
back.
Play, right.
Yeah, I mean, so, those are the kinds of plays that teams make when they are winning championships.
And to continue that theme, I actually, you know, what popped into my head was sort of Blaine Gabbert versus Matt Cain, because Cain at times this year, he would go, you know, four innings and he'd look great. And then there'd be that one bad inning. And with Gabbert, it's like that. He'll have three or four throws, or he'll have the rapport you talked about. But then all of a sudden he'll make just a throw. You're going, what was that? Where'd that come from?
Yeah, you get sloppy. I can empathize with that. I don't know. I don't know if you kind of let your guard down for a minute, or you lose focus, but you don't. You know, you get into a series where all of a sudden you're like, whoa, wait a minute, it's already 3rd and 10. What the hell happened? You know what I mean?
Right.
So you don't find yourself in the rhythm from the start of the series that you should be. You know what I mean? Or you don't have a positive play on first down, and you know, all of a sudden it's 2nd and 10, and there's an incompletion. You're like, oh, shit. Excuse me. You know, no, I mean, but that's kind of the, you just don't get yourself into the right rhythm in that series, and in that offense, you know, as we talked about, that's what worries me, where the defense gets tired, because if you have two or three of those in a row, you've only burned, you know, a minute and a half,
right,
or something crazy.
How do you think the Kelly offense is working as far as that, just the rhythm of it? Is it a positive, you know, an advancement from last year?
I think that the way his offense is being run is kind of the way that offenses in college and in the NFL are running now. Okay, you don't huddle, but especially in the NFL, you know, the quarterback's not making the audible anymore in that kind of offense.
Right.
You don't huddle. The formation's being signaled by someone on the sideline. You get to the line of scrimmage. There's, you know, 20 seconds. You call a phony audible or a phony snap count, and then all of a sudden the whole team stands up and looks back at the sideline for the next, you know, for the audible, basically, that's being signaled in by, you know, six people.
Right.
So it's hurry up, but then, you know, I've been watching recently not only the 49ers, but teams that, you know, run those types of offenses, which there are lots of now. You know, they're still not really getting the playoff until, you know, 5 seconds go anyway, and you're at the line of scrimmage with 15. So, yeah, you could huddle and come out and do the same thing. The timing is working out where it's almost the same as if you huddled, I guess is my point.
Right. At least they're not getting those delay of game penalties they used to get every week.
No,
that was annoying.
No, yeah, but that was, you know, that was, we, you and I talked a lot about that, was, you know, Greg Roman to you know, down through Harbaugh, through Jeep, you know, Harbaugh changes it. No, you know, and then you don't get to play until 10 seconds. You don't get out of the huddle until 6, you know.
Too many
or five.
Cooks.
You get too many cooks in the kitchen.
By the way, I don't know if you saw in the San Francisco Chronicle, but Scott Osler, who, you know, he's one of my favorite columnists, but he wrote a story about how isn't Colin Kaepernick worth a look? And I think it's too early for that, but what do you think about down the road here? I mean, if Blaine Gabbert continues on this path, or, you know, if it's a little bit worse, at what point do they give a look to Colin Kaepernick?
I'm sure that will have to happen at some point. If Blaine doesn't, you know, if they don't win and he's not consistent, I'll finish the thought is of Cap playing. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it will happen if they're not winning. But offense, yeah, they were given a couple gifts. They put up 27 points in the NFL. If you put up 27 points a week, you should win 10 games.
Right.
You know.
Well, especially against Carolina. I mean, now you've got Seattle coming up. We'll talk about that in a minute. But
yeah.
But with Kaepernick, he's got this ability that seemed to be, you know, it was kind of brought out early on, and then he regressed, and then he had, you know, coaching change and offensive line that wasn't very good, and then the injuries. And actually, Coach Kelly brought up a lot about the injuries, how for Colin recovering, it's not as easy as people think. I mean, he lost a lot of time in the weight room. You know, how much do you look at that as a quarterback? Because people don't think about that quite as much with a QB. You think about the other players lifting weights, but is that something that really would set him back, that he wasn't lifting weights for so many months?
He lost a bunch of weight, but I think it seemed like he chose to do that, in my opinion. But mm-hmm. I don't see that as being the issue. To me, the issue is, is he comfortable in that offense, and is he seeing the field? I think that for the most part, Blaine is going to the right guy. You know, is it on the money every time? No, but I think he's getting to the right guy. Other than Kuechly did, he suckered him at the end there.
He threw into the two-man coverage there. Yeah,
Blaine. And it looked to me like Blaine stared that one down. So Kuechly just, suckered him into that one, I thought.
Is it uncomfortable for the team when you do get into that situation, though? I mean, you know, it's always talked about quarterback controversy. You know, you've been in those locker rooms. What is it like for the two men involved and then everybody else?
It's not good for anybody. Especially the team. Like, who's going to play? Who's... You know, I want this guy to play. I want that guy to play. And I think there's already enough issues there surrounding Cap, and not just the non-football things. I don't know what happens, honestly. I can't imagine that it's positive.
Yeah, I mean, do you think this team would have to get used to him again, or him again, right?
Definitely. I mean, you would definitely have to get used to him again, I would think. That's a whole other adjustment now. Now he's got to adjust to the receivers, the tight ends. I don't know if he has that. Blaine seems to have a pretty good rapport with the tight ends, even though there were some, there were some drops, by the tight ends. But I thought there were some good balls. McDonald's, that was going to be a pretty darn good catch. There was one Blake Bell one that I remember that he dropped. Like, you can't drop that one.
Right, exactly.
You got to make that catch.
Well,
So. Does Cap have the rapport with them? I don't know. I'm going to guess no, just because he hasn't been in there that much with them.
Right.
So, Yeah. I don't know if I even want to think about that right now.
Well, yeah, it's something that we may be talking about here down the road, because you look at the schedule. I mean, you got we're going to talk about Seattle here in a second. But you got at Seattle, Dallas, which is a good team. Yeah. Arizona, of course, you know, they were a playoff team last year. At Buffalo, never easy. I mean, this is all going to be really tough. And, you know, so if they don't win some of these games, then we will be talking about that. But at Seattle, Steve, and this is a Seahawks team that's really bummed out after losing in Los Angeles to the Rams and the comeback to LA for the Rams. That's a Rams team that lost to the 49ers.
Yeah.
So how do you gauge what the Seahawks are doing? Their defense is great, but they couldn't move the ball. They couldn't score against the Rams. Couldn't score a touchdown.
Yeah. And I've had a couple people just being in Seattle last week, just people who are fans, not people that have played in the past, but just said that they're offensive line wasn't very good. I haven't seen them play. I didn't see the Ram game. But just saying, yeah, offensive line is not very good, and they're not the team that they were a couple years ago. And that was obvious, you know, in a loss that where I could see reading that the Rams came back and won. And the Rams were – they obviously were a different team than the team that we saw – you know,
right?
7 days ago, because they were not very good.
No, they turned up their defense. Well, I mean, I would think that still. I mean, this is going to be a great challenge for the offense for the 49ers, because the Seahawks defense is still pretty much as good as it was before. It's really the offense that's regressed.
I would agree from what I've read.
Yeah.
But the Niners, to your point, the Niners schedule is. It's tough.
I mean,
to play last Monday night and then have to go to Carolina, oof.
I know.
You know, and it was hot.
It was hot. And humid.
And humid, exactly. And you know, to go to Seattle, like you said, whew.
Going to be tough.
Yeah, this is not easy. Not an easy schedule. But, you know, it's the NFL. None of them are easy.
None of them are easy. All right, Steve. Well, we look forward to talking about that Seahawks game next Tuesday. Really appreciate it. And
all right.
And enjoy it.
All right. Yeah. I appreciate it. And, yeah, we'll talk to you next week.
That's former 49ers quarterback Steve Bono. Join us again next Tuesday. We'll talk about the 49ers game in Seattle against the Seahawks. For now, I'm Joe Castellano. Thanks for listening to 49ers Extra on thesportsvirus.com and now on KNBR.com.